The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Tonight, our thoughts turn to Peter's denial of his Lord. The story of Peter's denial is so familiar that you might even wonder why we should bother to consider it again. Is there really anything more to be said? But to ask that question reveals a failure to grasp the wonderful truth that Holy Scripture, given to us by God through his chosen witnesses, has depths of riches that can never be exhausted. The more we carefully read and probe the Holy Scriptures and ponder them and try to apply them to our own lives, the clearer it becomes that they are like an inexhaustible spring of pure, refreshing water, of saving, cleansing, illuminating, and yes, also judging and challenging truth. As St. Paul wrote to Timothy, saying that from a child, Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation through the faith that is in Christ Jesus. This is the purpose of Holy Scripture. This is what Holy Scripture is for. This is what Holy Scripture is. And when people look for anything else in Holy Scripture, they only misunderstand and often, in fact, abuse Holy Scripture. And one of the greatest proofs of the utter truthfulness of Holy Scripture is the utterly unflattering picture they paint of its authors. All four Gospels tell us of Peter's denial of his Lord, and all four Gospels contain the record of eyewitnesses. Matthew was one of the 12 apostles, as was John. Mark provides a record of the teaching of St. Peter himself. And at the beginning of his gospel, St. Luke tells us that he's writing what he in fact heard from eyewitnesses. And all four holy writers tell of the failure, not only of Simon Peter, but of all 12 apostles. Next week, we'll hear about the traitor Judas, who was also one of the 12 apostles. Tonight I have only one thing to say about that, and that is this. If even one of the original 12 apostles could become a vile traitor to his Lord, we shouldn't be surprised when we find that among those who in the pastoral office continue the work of the apostles, there have been and there are those who, like Judas, betray their Lord. All four gospel writers record the failure, not only of Peter and Judas, but of all the apostles. We are told that when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all the apostles, forsook him and fled. And so you might say that the four Gospels are the record of the failure of the 12 apostles. Their failure despite the fact that for 3 years they'd been with Jesus. They'd heard his marvelous teaching and had seen his miracles. And despite the fact that they'd heard him warn them that he would be arrested by the Jewish authorities and condemned by them, and then handed over to the Roman governor, who, capitulating to the will of a mob, enraged and inflamed by its leaders, would give the order to crucify him. Despite the fact that at the Last Supper, Jesus had, in instituting the Holy Sacrament, interpreted his coming death as a sacrificial offering for the sins of the whole world. And despite the fact that he told them that they would all fall away, all of the apostles saw and heard these things, and Peter, the chief of the apostles, with them. Despite all that, the apostles failed. But when we consider the story of Peter's denial in the light of everything that St. Matthew tells us, we come to realize this, that Peter's denial of Jesus wasn't a sudden misfortune. It was the culmination of a whole series of events, going back to Peter's bold confession of Jesus as the Christ, the promised Messiah. Because you'll remember that right after Peter confessed Jesus to be the Messiah, Jesus then foretold his suffering and death, which brought from Peter the strenuous objection, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." And Jesus turned and rebuked him, even calling Peter Satan. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, because you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And then in the upper room on that first Maundy Thursday, when Jesus tells the disciples that they'll all fall away, Peter, along with the rest of them, says that this will never happen. And Peter goes on to say that all the rest of them would fall away. He will never fall away, and that he would die rather than deny Jesus. It was then that Jesus warned him that before the cock crows, he'll deny his Savior and Lord. Later in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, along with James and John, falls asleep rather than keeping watch with his Lord. And when the armed mob appears, Peter draws his sword and cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant, receiving from Jesus the rebuke, "Put your sword in its sheath, for all they that take the sword will perish by the sword." And finally, when Jesus was arrested, Peter and all the rest of them forsook Jesus and fled. Peter somehow then summoned the courage to follow Jesus to the high priest's palace. He sat in the courtyard in the dim light of a fire kindled there, sitting with the bystanders. Among them, a servant girl who suddenly recognizes him as having been with Jesus and says so. St. Matthew tells us that to this lowly, humble servant girl, Peter replies, "I do not know what you mean," or to put that into plain language, Peter said, "I don't even know what you're talking about." Then another servant girl recognizes him. And this time Peter says, "I do not know this man." And when one of the bystanders recognizes him, he begins to curse and to swear again, denying that he even knows Jesus. Immediately the cock crows. And with that, poor Peter remembers the prophecy of Jesus. And remembering it, he goes out and he weeps bitterly. So you see, the four Gospels are the record of the failure of the apostles in general, of Simon Peter in particular. And if you ask, why was this failure necessary? An answer can be found in the great penitential psalm that fell from King David's lips after he was convicted by the prophet Nathan of committing adultery with the wife of Uriah and even arranging for Uriah to be killed in battle. David prays, "The sacrifices pleasing to God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." The sacrifices pleasing to God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. It was the great Saint Augustine who said, "Before God can help us, we must undeceive ourselves." And so Peter and all the apostles had to be freed from any delusions about their own self-sufficiency, about their own capacity to love and trust God. For as someone has said, we must be broken into life. We must be broken into life. And what that means is that in the loving providence of our merciful Creator, He can use even our sins for His saving, truly loving purpose. All of us, like Peter and all the apostles, must learn of our own nothingness before God before we can be filled. The very first words of our Lord's wonderful Sermon on the Mount are these: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God," which means blessed, indeed happy, are those who know their need for God, for they will know His gentle, compassionate rule over them. Through their failure, Peter and all the apostles were made poor in spirit. Having become nothing, they received everything when the risen Lord appeared to these men who'd so utterly failed Him, not with the word of reproach, but with His word of peace. "Peace be unto you," He says, and shows them His hands and His sides, with the mark of the nails, the proof of his endless compassion and love. As we sing in that wonderful hymn, crown him with many crowns. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. His word of peace and his scars are the Savior's word to those who had abandoned him, and to Peter, who had abandoned and denied him. And that is his word to you and to me and to everyone who has so often abandoned and denied him. Peter denied his Lord 3 times, and then in the early morning by the Sea of Galilee, the risen Lord came and spoke to Peter, 3 times restoring him to his work as a witness to his mercy. Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. Yes, the 4 Gospels are the unvarnished record of the apostles' failure. But they are even more the joyful proclamation of the life-giving victory of God's crucified and risen Son. A victory for you, for me, and for this whole sorrowing world. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.